Chapter 4. Darcy was about to sprint away when she saw the bus lumber into view.
Thank goodness, Darcy sighed.
The bus would be here in seconds. The man in the Toyota seemed to figure that out, too. He got back in the car and slammed the door. He started the Toyota and made a U-turn in the street just as the bus doors opened. Darcy scrambled into the bus and slid her dollar bills into the fare box beside the driver. The driver gave her a transfer pass that almost fell from her shaking hands. She hurried to the first available seat beyond the handicap section and sank gratefully into a seat by the window. What an awful day this had turned out to be. She'd tried to make the best of Tara as a project partner. She tried to be nice to her and Cooper. Look what happened. She planned to take home loads of pictures and a notebook full of good information. All she had were a few pictures and hardly any notes. Worse yet, that stranger seemed to threaten her, and now, on Monday, she had the ugly job of asking Miss Reed for another partner. The next day, Darcy, Jamie, and Mom went to Aunt Charlotte's for dinner. A neighbor, Miss Harris, was sitting with Grandma. About four times a year, they went to Aunt Charlotte's townhouse as a kind of duty to family, even though none of them really wanted to go.
She's my only sister, Mom would point out.
Darcy hated going to the upscale townhouse to eat one of Aunt Charlotte's strange gourmet meals featuring things like eggplant, tofu, and unusual smelly cheeses.
Your hair looks terrible, Maddie,
Charlotte scolded the moment they came through the doorway.
Don't you ever go to the beauty salon? Lord knows you make a decent salary in that hospital. You don't need to have your hair looking like a bird's nest.
I've got no time for beauty salons, Mom grumbled.
Well, make time. There's nothing more important for a woman than attending to her appearance.
Charlotte's critical gaze fell on Jamie next.
And you? You look like a homeless child who's fished her wardrobe out of a dumpster.
Now look at your sister. Darcy has the good sense to look neat and attractive. Darcy did not want to be the one earning Aunt Charlotte's approval. Still, she smiled weakly, trying to be polite.
Everybody at school dresses like this, Jamie said in her own defense.
She flopped down on the sofa and began playing with Aunt Charlotte's Pekingese dog.
Children today have no style, Charlotte continued as she lit the candles on her table.
They haven't a clue about giving good impressions to people who can help them up the ladder of success.
Would I be an executive secretary in a major bank if I didn't present myself properly?
Darcy waited for Aunt Charlotte to ask how Grandma was. After all, she was Grandma's daughter, too. She hardly ever came over. She never even wanted to say hello to Grandma over the phone. One time, when Darcy's mother begged her to come over, Aunt Charlotte got an almost terrified expression on her face and said,
"Oh, don't ever pressure me to come over there again, Maddie. I cannot bear people in Mom's condition. I just can't bear them."
So how are things at the hospital? Charlotte asked her sister. Are they still dumping all their paperwork on you?
Everybody's working hard in the ER, Mom said. We've had staff cuts and more are on the way. The workload is getting worse every day.
Aunt Charlotte changed the subject.
I cannot understand why you continue to live in that awful neighborhood, Maddie. I mean, it can't be good for your daughters to live among all those low-class people.
Oh, no, Mom said. The girls have nice friends. Rosanna is one of Darcy's friends, and she's a lovely girl. And your friends are nice too, aren't they, Jamie?
Yeah, right, Jamie said, glaring at the eggplant dish on the table.
You see, Charlotte said sharply, she dresses in a slovenly way, and she has no manners. She doesn't even have the courtesy to look at me when she speaks to me.
Jamie, Mom scolded, don't mumble into your food when you're talking to someone.
Jamie looked up, her eyes narrow with resentment.
I don't even want to be here, okay? You act like you're better than we are. And every time we come here, you make the nastiest food.
Aunt Charlotte recoiled in horror.
I will have you understand that I make gourmet meals which are raved over by all my friends. How dare you?
Jamie, Mom warned, you better watch your mouth.
I won't, Jamie yelled, glaring at Aunt Charlotte.
You never ever come visit Grandma. You never even visited when she was in her own little house.
Sometimes Grandma would cry about it. Now Grandma is dying, and Mom takes care of her, but you won't even come over to help for one lousy day in a month. You're selfish. You just sit in this ugly, stupid townhouse and spend all your money on ugly, stupid paintings that make me want to puke. Jamie, Mom wailed, but it was too late. Aunt Charlotte got up and wiped her lips with the corner of her fancy napkin. Maddie, please take your hateful, spoiled daughter and leave at once. And never bring her back until she learns to behave like a lady. Amid the clatter of Mom and Jamie getting up to leave, Aunt Charlotte came to Darcy's side and said, I wish you didn't have to go. You have that certain something that your sister will never have. Class. And I'm afraid she takes after your good-for-nothing father. Darcy did not say anything. She hurried after her mother. Jamie was already racing down the stairs toward the car. When they all reached the car, Mom began bitterly scolding Jamie. How could you embarrass me like that? It's bad enough Charlotte has always looked down on me with her perfect life. You need to go to the salon. You should never have married that man in the first place. And now you're giving her good cause to say that I'm a bad parent? Jamie crawled into the back seat, folded her arms, and closed her eyes. Darcy sat beside her mother up front. Mom, Aunt Charlotte has no right to put you down, Darcy said. You're a great nurse. You practically run that ER. You save people's lives every night. You're a hero and a great mom and a great daughter to Grandma. Aunt Charlotte just fools with a computer and an old bank, and she doesn't lift a finger for anybody but herself. She's got no right putting you down. Mom took her eyes off the road for a minute to look at Darcy. Oh, baby, what would I do without you? Tears began to roll softly down her cheeks. But the truth is, I'm no hero. I'm just trying to keep ahead of a mountain of paperwork and doing about one-third of the patient care that I ought to be doing. I need the arms of an octopus to meet all their needs, and I did blow it marrying your father. Maybe I was a bad wife, or he wouldn't have left me like that. Mom, Darcy cried, it wasn't your fault. It was his fault. He was like what Pastor Bromley says about people who desert their families. They're weak and selfish. Jamie was roused to join in the condemnation of their father. Yeah, he was a jerk. Maybe that's true, Mom said softly. It is, Mom, Jamie insisted. What kind of man sneaks away like that? What kind of dirty coward does that? Just because he fell for that stupid Janelle woman was no reason to dump us. Jamie, what are you talking about? Mom asked in a horrified voice, nearly swerving the car into oncoming traffic. Oh, Mom, Jamie went on, rolling her eyes. Janelle's niece Deidre goes to my school, and she told me the whole story. Her Aunt Janelle was a waitress at that diner where Dad used to eat breakfast. She told me how Dad would flirt with this pretty young waitress. Next thing she knew, the two of them ran off to New York together. Deidre's been teasing me about it ever since. The other kids used to ask what happened to my daddy, and I'd make up some lies. But the truth is, Dad left us for that young waitress. Mom was really crying now, and Darcy wanted to strangle Jamie for what she said. Darcy and Jamie had discussed the true story a couple of years ago, but they had promised to keep silent out of respect for Mom's feelings. Oh, Mom, stop crying, Jamie said crossly. Men are slime. Boys are, too. Old Aunt Charlotte is pretty smart not to have anything to do with them. She just makes piles of money and takes trips to Paris and Madrid and takes care of herself instead of wasting time on men. You don't believe that's any good way to live, Darcy said. It's just an empty life, that's all. What good is a full life if it's full of nothing but hurt and misery? Jamie asked. Mom was quiet for a few blocks. Then she said, Jamie, when we get home, you're going to sit right down and write a note of apology to your aunt. No, I won't, Jamie snapped. Well, then you can just forget about me signing the permission slip for your cheerleader camp. And no mall on Saturday either, Mom said. Jamie sighed deeply. Oh, I'll write the stupid apology, but I won't mean it. And before I mail it, I spit on it. You better not, Mom warned. Darcy thought about her trouble with Tara and Cooper all day Sunday afternoon and evening. She didn't want to go see Miss Reed and ask for a new partner. She wanted to find some way to make peace, to get things where they were before that silly water bug incident at the tidal pool. But she didn't know how to do it, or if Tara would even want to work with her again. "Rosanna," Darcy asked on the way to school Monday morning, "what should I do?"
"Darcy, after what that freak did to you, he ought to be suspended from school. I mean, you're totally crazy to have anything more to do with him and his stupid girlfriend," Rosanna said.
"Rosanna, don't call them names. I mean," Darcy said softly, it was the first time she had ever spoken up against Rosanna's treatment of others.
"Give me a break, Darcy. Don't tell me you like them. I mean, it's just like my father says, if you lie down with dogs, you'll get up with fleas. Those two are low class. I don't know what my parents would do if I even brought home trash like Tara Carson."
"Don't call her trash," Darcy replied. "It's just that she wasn't brought up like us, with manners and all. She's not really bad or anything."
"She's a fat cow, Darce. And she's got a nasty hair weave," Rosanna snapped.
"What's the matter with you? Don't you remember when we were sophomores last year and we rated the kids we see on a scale of 1 to 10? Remember 10s were the highest?
Well, Tara Carson was among the zeros. She couldn't even make it to number 1. Now that's low class."
"Oh, Rosanna, I mean, it's not right to rate kids by numbers, and we weren't really serious about that. We were just acting silly," Darcy said.
"Come on, Darcy, some people are just beneath us, and that's all there is to it. They belong in a special school with other rejects. If I were you, I'd report what Tara and Cooper did to you, how you almost died of fright when that bug was in your sweater, how they laughed at you. Maybe you should change it a little. Tell them it was a black widow spider, and luckily it didn't bite you, but they wanted it to bite you and they hoped you'd die. Then they both get transferred to that reject school and we'll be rid of them."
"But, Rosanna, it was just a water bug," Darcy protested.
"So what? How will they know the difference? It's your word against theirs," Rosanna argued.
Darcy saw it then, the silver Toyota that she'd seen near the tidal pool. It was parked across the street from Bluford High.
"Rosanna, look over there. That car was at the tidal pool on Saturday. The guy seemed to be watching me then, and there he is again."
Rosanna turned her head.
"The windows are so dirty, I can't make out who's at the wheel."
"The car's starting up. Rosanna, try and get a look at the driver when it goes by," Darcy said. The silver Toyota moved past them at moderate speed.
"Some fat old guy," Rosanna said. "He was wearing a baseball cap."
"Yeah, he was the other day, too. I wonder what he's lurking around for," Darcy said, worried.
"Maybe he's one of Tara's or Cooper's crummy relatives," Rosanna suggested darkly. "They have hordes of uncles and cousins hanging around their messy houses. I'm telling you, Darcy, you're making a big mistake getting mixed up with those low-life people. I wouldn't be surprised if that fat guy in the car is an uncle of Cooper's, and he wants to sell drugs at the school or something."
Darcy frowned. "Rosanna, Cooper's a jerk, but he doesn't do drugs. Neither does Tara."
"Maybe not now, but give them a couple of years," Rosanna said. "I'm telling you, girl, they're headed for drugs and gangs. Darcy, wake up. We have to stick together. We're the tens."
Rosanna went to her first class and Darcy headed for biology. Hakeem Randall was entering class at the same time Darcy was. He seemed to smile right at her. His warm, dark eyes looked so friendly. But Darcy wasn't sure. Maybe she'd only imagined it. She would feel like such a fool to smile back when he wasn't even smiling at her. So she hurried past him to her desk. As she sat down, Darcy noticed a small note taped to her desk. She always sat in the same place by the window, so whoever wanted to leave her a note would know where to put it. Darcy's hands shook a little as she opened the note. Maybe it was an apology from Tara and Cooper. That would be so great. That would make everything okay again. The note was not handwritten. Instead, somebody had cut out letters from a newspaper or magazine and pasted them together to form words. "You'll pay for what you did, Darcy. You can run, but you can't hide." Darcy stared at the note in stunned silence. It was obviously written by someone who hated her. Could Tara and Cooper be this angry at her? Was it possible that Rosanna was right after all, that these were dangerous people? Or was this note placed on Darcy's desk by some kid acting for someone else, like the fat man in the silver Toyota? Was some deranged stranger after her?